welcome to the AV Forum's Movies, TV and Disc podcast for November 2024. Tonight, I am joined by Simon Crust.
Good afternoon, good evening, and hello. Hello. Am I in the circle? Like and subscribe.
And Mark Costello.
Bonjour.
Nice.
Very continental. Well,
for our November Movies, TV and 4K podcast, we'll be offering up a top 10 list of recommended streaming and cinema watches for November and a top 10 of recommended 4K discs to watch in November, plus our topic of the month. This month, we're taking a look back at our predictions for 2024 and how they turned out. Right.
It turns out we predicted a Trump landslide.
Nobody.
Oh no! No, sorry. No, you're right.
Yeah.
We predicted a Harris landslide. That's what we predicted.
I think we're pretty good on predictions.
We were pretty good. We'll get to it.
We're pretty good. I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, we were occasionally rubbish.
You have looked at the numbers, haven't you?
I have looked at them. Yeah, okay. I've updated the article, actually. Anyway.
It's all about the numbers, Si.
We're getting into the future here. We're still on November.
Sorry.
We're still on November. Coming up, we'll be offering a top 10 list of recommended streaming and cinema watches during November 2024. Before we start, here is a message from our sponsor, Hisense.
If you're looking to upgrade your home entertainment, Hisense's mini LED TVs are a game changer, offering incredible brightness, deeper blacks, and stunning contrast. Plus, the Hisense 65 and 55 inch U7N TVs just bagged a Which Best Buy Award. With Black Friday pricing, there's never been a better time to choose smarter and experience premium features at an amazing value. Check out Hisense's mini LED range and more at hisense.co.uk.
Thank you to Hisense for sponsoring the show. Please like and subscribe to feed the algorithm. So without further ado, let's have a look at some of the best titles the team have watched in November 2024. Top of the list, well, bottom of the list actually, because it got the 7 out of 10, but still worth a watch is season 2 of Lioness, formerly known as Special Ops Lioness. This is the latest Taylor Sheridan construction to feed his Paramount ego, and it's Zoe Saldana and Nicole Kidman. They're both back doing a better job, I think, than the first season. Saldana's taken the lead, at least so far, and I found the opening to the new season more interesting than the first season. Let's see if it coalesces into something decent. We're about 3 or 4 in. Then there's The Outrun.
I've seen exactly none of those.
You've seen it. Well, to be fair, and you know, Paramount is like an acquired taste. Sheridan pretty much fuels all the content on Paramount. The Yellowstones, the Yellowstone spin-offs, Tulsa King, Mayor of Kingstown. He just does all of the stuff for Paramount, and
I watch The Family Stallone. Oh, God. That's all I watch on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Well, if you like your Sheridan stuff, it's the Sheridan version of like The Unit or any of the other Strike Force, whatever derivative military things, given his slightly different angle, which has a modicum of authenticity, and it works. I'm enjoying
fantastically this, helpful, Kaz. Season. It's this TV show I've never seen is exactly like lots of other TV shows I've never seen.
It is. But in the sense that Sheridan has taken Yellowstone and he's given Paramount a version of, I don't know, Succession with Kevin Costner in the lead. You know, he's taken Tulsa King and he's given Paramount a version of Sopranos with Stallone in the lead. That's all he's doing. So with Lioness, he's taken a version of The Unit and with Zoe Saldana in the lead. And if you're looking for another version of those shows that you used to like, it's not such a bad thing. He does a pretty good job with it. I wouldn't say it's must-see TV, but if you've watched all of the other versions, the Successions and the Billions, I can see why you'd watch Yellowstone. So
we're spending an awful lot of time talking about the bottom of our list, Kaz.
I know. We're never going to get to the top. Okay, The Outrun. It's Saoirse And she's given the opportunity to do the performance of her career as a young alcoholic based on some true memoirs. I slapped an 8 out of 10 on that. It's not an easy ride. The Diplomat, also an 8 out of 10, returned for a second season. It's only 6 episodes, which is my only criticism, because you're just left wanting more, but they've greenlit it for a third.
It worked for its run, though. It was very good for its run.
It is.
Didn't need more than
And
6 episodes. I agree that it felt short, but you wouldn't have
yeah.
wanted to pad that out any more than it was.
For all the complaints that Netflix do like 10 episodes, you're absolutely right. It's nice that they did six and left you wanting more. It's just waiting. Because I think it was like 3 years to
That's a
get to the
long
second
time.
season, and there was a hell of a cliffhanger at the end of season one, and there's a hell of a
Just about
cliffhanger at the end of
seasons, yes.
season two.
Yeah.
If it helps, Mark, that's Netflix's answer to The West Wing. So we're going to do lots of answers too for this one. There
I've
you
seen the West Wing. My
go.
God.
Okay, and we have The Old Man, which also returns for a second season.
Terrible film.
I love this TV show. I love it. I mean, it's
About old men. We're old men.
is Jeff Bridges, and I've got all the time in the world for him being
Because
an
this.
aging assassin, and I loved the first season, and I wanted it to be more of him going around shooting everybody, and the second season isn't initially more of that, but it does enough for me with his old dog with still claws and
You
teeth.
need to
I
say
mean,
old a lot more in this review, mate.
yeah, it's great. It's
How
great. It's
old
worth
is
a watch.
he?
He's old enough not to be running around as an assassin, breaking people's heads and biting into their necks.
He's got good hair for an old fella, though,
He
hasn't he?
does. Yes. And you know what? They're going to make a third season. Silo. Silo's returned. Season two of Silo. Yeah, I enjoy Silo. Lots of people complaining about the slow burn. More of the slow burn here. It doesn't give you the answers you're looking for that you waited the whole of the first season for. It just gives you more questions. But it's clearly in it for the long haul, and I'm on board with it. It's well crafted, hard sci-fi. I'm okay with that. Day of the
Yeah.
Jackal was a surprise for me. Sky doing something right, probably because they bought it in, but it's a adaptation of the novel, and I guess in turn inspired by much of what happens in the original film, the classic. They do okay with it, turning it long form, spinning it out into 10 episodes. Yeah, Eddie
Ten.
Redmayne in the lead. It's
10.
yeah, 10 episodes, and it works. I'm
Oh God, I'm bored after four.
just over halfway through. They've
You've not even put it on.
given them some decent characters. Really, really, trust me, I'm surprised about just how much good I have to say about Sky alone in this list. And I've just started Dune. Gladiator 2, which you're going to tell me was better than you expected.
Other than all expectations, to be fair. Let's be honest, we saw the trailer. Aside from Ridley Scott's dodgy ear, we know his eye is still there.
I didn't see the
Yeah,
trailer.
you didn't say the tr well, you're strange. Everyone
I'm
else
not
saw the trailer,
watching
Kaz.
that or Dead
It
Reckoning or any other trailers ever.
the action was a no-brainer. Yes, it's a little bit more preposterous this time around with strange dog alien space baboons and sharks. Who knew?
Cool.
But the action is fine. I think what really surprised me certainly was the script. The first half, it went exactly as you expected it to be. More power plays, more homages to the first film. But actually, where the script goes in the second half is actually really interesting, helped by a powerhouse Denzel Washington, who is having an absolute blast. Mescal does okay. He's got half the charisma that Russell Crowe has, but he seethes. Where Russell Crowe brooded, he seethes, and he does good seethe. So yeah, it's after an initial flurry of forumites saying it was much better than expected, some more slightly alternative views, shall we say, have crept in. It's proving a little bit divisive. I think this, in all honesty, is going to be all about your expectations and what you want from it and what you bring to it. I went in thinking it was going to be absolutely terrible and actually came out having a really good time with it. So, yeah, very pleasantly surprised by this one.
Nice. I am looking forward to seeing that. It's going to be one of the last big event movies of the year. Arcane, League of Legends, the final season, second and final season. It's got to be a contender for one of the greatest animations out there. I am reserving judgment on that until I've finished it, until it's finished its run, because I do love Blue Eye Samurai. But Netflix have got certainly got a winner with this. Told with heart, it's intense, it's superbly drawn, and it's fabulously realized. The visual world they brought to life here is tremendous. We're six episodes in now. They're releasing it in three episode segments, and it's easily a 9 out of 10. And I can't see why this isn't going to land a 10 out of 10 when it comes to its pretty powerful ending. I mean, they must be building something for the creators to go, this is all one and done. Well, two and done, but one and done with the final season. But I'm looking forward to it.
It
And
was really interesting, actually. When it first started up, second season, this is, I put it on what, a couple of days ago because I wanted to wait for not just the first three. And I was sitting there going, this is okay, but it's not as good, but it's not as good. And then suddenly it turns a screw and you think, oh, bloody hell. And it turns it again and you go, oh, bloody hell. And then you get to where it is now and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, this is as good.
it
It's
really is, yeah.
amazing stuff.
Yeah, I think I remember that from the first season. There's like something happens in episode three that makes you go, wow, I'm gonna have to watch all of these right now. You
I'm
know, it's
ridiculous. I should have started watching the first season again to prepare for it, because that 4 minute recap at the beginning is not
it's
enough
not
to
enough.
it's not enough to remind you just how powerful and how fantastic that show really is.
Yeah, it is. Another great show that I didn't expect was The Penguin. I did expect a lot from it, because I think that in The Penguin, Colin Farrell's character, sorry, in The Batman, Colin Farrell's character was great. A real unrecognizable, superb role for him to bite his teeth down into. But I never thought that a TV show would quite make the most of it, but it's a great little crime show, equal parts Batman universe and Sopranos, and he's a fabulously tragic character, really superbly played by Farrell. I mean, that guy's in a real high point of his career. Yeah, I loved it. I think Sky have got a succession of winners at the moment, and I know they're not really Sky originals. But the fact that they've got them and they're unleashing them in the UK certainly gives you a reason to get that free trial. But the top choice Mark looked at, 10 out of 10 for Superman, the Christopher Reeve story.
Over to you, James Gunn. Out of the ashes of the DCEU rises our number one and number two this month. Look, you only have to go online. And I know you have watched the trailer for this, Kaz, haven't you?
No.
Oh, right. You need to watch the trailer for this for your own health, because it will tell you whether or not you will survive 100 minutes of it. This is one of the most powerfully affecting emotional watches I have ever seen. Quite frankly. Now, Christopher Reeve was my Superman. He always was. He always will be the only Superman. And I remember his accident. I remember how devastated I was by it. I was always convinced that he would just one day get up out of that chair, you know, maybe not fly, but he'd walk again. And then, of course, he didn't. And this documentary just, I mean, it not only brought home tragedy of it, but it actually did something really powerful with it. It brought home the fact that whereas we all thought Christopher Reeve died after he fell off that horse, this actually showed that that was his rebirth. And some of the, I mean, I'm getting all emotional just even talking about it, honestly. Told through his three kids, narrating hours and hours of really intense, evocative home movies. The documentary does a really good job. It starts with the accident, none of this building to it. We all know it's going to come. So it's front and center, happens in the first 5 minutes. And then the timeline fractures, and it follows both his career rise to getting Superman, and then it follows his rise to recovery after the accident. But oh Lord, I was an absolute mess at the end of this. It hit me in the gut so many times. The story of Christopher Reeve, of Dana Reeve, of the three kids, it was just, you think you know it, you think you know the beats of it, but this actually places you in that life, it places you in that family going through that, and good grief, it was just heart-wrenching. I can't say enough good things about it. An easy 10 out of 10. One of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Now, it might be that I am inbuilt to this because, you know, I love everything Chris Reeve. Hell, I even love Superman 4. There you go. Okay. That shows how much of a Chris Reeve stan I am. So I'm obviously predisposed to love this, but my word, anyone who's even watched any of the Christopher Reeve films, you have to watch this, but my word, be prepared. You're going to need a stiff drink and a lie down at the end of it.
What's it on?
At this moment in time, it's on US VOD platforms. I have a feeling it's going to come to Amazon soonish. Well, yeah, you can go rent and buy on US iTunes. That's what I did.
Nice. Very nice. That wraps up our look at this month's best titles. Right, so let's have a look at some of the best discs that the team have watched in November 2024. Our number one from Mark's top 10 Blu-rays, which doesn't make the rest of the list, but I mean, should deserve a big shout out because you gave it 10 out of 10, is The Blair Witch Project on Blu-ray.
Oh my God.
Second Sight, yet again, contender for Disc of the Year. A lowly 1080p Disc of the Year. What dark arts is this? Well, frankly, you come to this for three reasons. So the first is the completely restored picture. Now, I know what you're all thinking. Wasn't this only SD video? What's that going to look like here? Well, what they actually do is they include three cuts of the film. First cut is the 24 frames per second cut you've always seen. The next two are fully restored at 1080 60i. So it's high frame rate. And it's only when you see the video inserts in this in high frame rate and then go back to the 24 FPS version that you realize how god awful the version we've only ever seen has always been. It's an absolute revelation. I mean, it's still, there's still 16 millimeter footage in there. It's still SD high 8 video, but now it looks like it never has before. It looks stupendous. That's the first reason. The second reason is the monumental 2.5 hour documentary on here that is one of the best making of documentaries I have ever seen. And I'm including all the likes of Dangerous Days, all the likes of those on the Alien Quadrilogy, you name it. It's an absolute belter. All five of the key creatives, directors, production designer, basically the five guys who birthed this, take you through its very inception, what it was early doors. Originally, just before it was due to premiere at Sundance, it was a very different film. It was a much more traditional documentary. The found footage was spliced into more traditional wraparound stuff. And it was only at the last minute did they make the decision to put all that stuff out and present it as just the found footage stuff. But of course, all that stuff that they cut out then became the amazing viral marketing that they then launched on their website back in 1999. You see it all, and it's just, oh, it's absolutely amazing. Worth the price of admission alone. But then, of course, you wrap it around the third reason, which is Second Sight's absolutely immaculate packaging, the 180-page book, hardbound book that looks like something you would be very proud to have on your coffee table. I tell you, it's an absolutely sumptuous package and one of my discs of the year without a shadow of a doubt.
Very nice. God, and still 1080p. Still rocking the Blu-ray, man.
In fact, it's not even 1080p, is it? It's bloody SD for half of it. Well, yeah, it's amazing.
Very nice. It was a tough list this week, so I'm going to skip quickly through the first five because I think there are a few that only egged in because we wanted 10, but I don't think anyone's going to jump up and down on Arrow's Arrow's 4K release of the third Body Snatchers version. Fourth Body Snatching Body Snatchers version, The Invasion. Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig, 5 out of 10 from Mark. Less
Meh.
said, the better. Yeah. Scarface, 1932, 4K from Criterion, 6 out of 10 from Sai. Classic film, not so classic release.
No.
Elvira, Acquired Taste, 4K. That's another Arrow job. Well, yeah, the images sell themselves.
Absolutely. There's only two reasons to watch this, and they're on that picture.
7 out of 10 for there. And Twilight of the Warriors Walled In, which you did get an 8 out of 10. I think you had some fun with that.
But yeah, it's all right.
Yeah,
The set's pretty good, but it's not a massive leap from the Blu-ray. It's only just a 1080. It's SD, so SDR, I mean, so it's okay.
yes, it's tough. The second half of our recommendations have a lot more juicy titles in there. I looked at Trainspotting. It's been a bit of a controversial release. I don't know whether it's just the cover art that just set it up to fail. But there's been a lot of criticism over the colours used. It is different. It's not Red Sonja different, but it's it doesn't look quite right. Still, it looks better than it ever has done before, and it's really hard not emphasizing that fact. I mean, some of the times I had to look at this disc and literally freeze the screen and look at it really closely, and then I'm like, yeah, the clouds aren't quite formed right. But in motion, most of it is pretty damn good, and it's Trainspotting. I mean, I don't know whether I expected it to ever look absolutely fantastic. I don't think I ever watched it looking fantastic. Still a great ride, and still an all-time classic. Godzilla 1954.
That's it, really. That's all you need to say. The absolute daddy of all kaiju films. So, watching it now after we've been inundated in recent, years with the new MonsterVerse and you name it, it's startling to see how much of the template which these films still stick to was birthed right from the get-go in Honda's 1954, birth of the entire kaiju genre. Classic film, absolutely classic film. Criterion's 4K. Yeah, it seems to be the month for it. It's replicating the recent Toho 4K restoration in that it also doesn't include HDR grade. It's resolutely SDR. It still looks better than it has before. There's been some obvious digital manipulation that's needed because the source material we're talking a couple of dupe negatives and a 16 millimeter release print. So several generations released, back from the original camera negative. So expectations need to be managed somewhat. It still looks far better than the previous version because it's had a lot of cleanup done to it. All the cram lines that you saw in the previous version of now, well, not all of them, the vast majority of them have been removed. Like you've just said, Kaz, it looks better than it has done ever before. Is it perfect? No, there's been some digital touch-up work to it, but given what I can only imagine it would have looked like without it, for this one, I'm willing to bear the brunt of that slightly digital picture. The rest of it, though, it's the same soundtrack, same extras, no new extras. Personally, I think for a £30 Criterion release, if like me, you've bought this film twice before, probably twice before from Criterion, you can maybe afford to wait for the sale to grab this. But if you haven't, you might as well get the best version of the best kaiju film.
I suspect we're
Oh,
going to be hearing
the best
similar
kaiju film?
things. Yeah, what
Minus
about
one might
Pacific
come
Rim?
knocking.
Pacific Rim 2, man.
Hey, minus one might come knocking.
No. No. And hang on. What's that? No. You're all
I'm
just.
getting something in my ear. Maybe.
Yeah, you're all insane. You're all just wrong. It's that simple.
I'm clearly insane and joking, but yes. Pacific Rim. Third Man 4K. I guess it's going to get a similar sort of great film and what not quite a superlative release from you, Si.
Yeah, very, very similar. a classic film. Fantastic picture, good sound. insane extras charging a mammoth price for it. I found it difficult to justify the inflated price for what is essentially the just a slightly upgraded picture. Okay, you get a load of paper stuff and a music box, but you know,
It's
really?
pop out, man. It's a pop
Yeah,
out.
but really?
It's
I don't know. I struggled to justify what, even though the film is an absolute classic and just brilliant, just a brilliant screenplay.
I think you just
I
don't
that's where I struggle with it.
understand.
Just on the set as it is, rather than the film. You can't fault the film. You can't fault the picture. You can't fault the sound. The extras are brilliant. It's just that the extra cost they're charging for the all the bump that goes around the discs, I
You
struggled with.
don't understand how much goes into a pop-up. There's a lot of effort that goes into having an entire fairground pop up.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay. All right.
it's a lot. Look at
All
that.
right.
Isn't it
Justifies
cheap?
an extra
Yeah.
20 quid. Yeah, all
Yeah,
right.
but the problem is the pop-up doesn't even work. That's why I've bought this. I've got this. And when you open
Oh.
it doesn't
It's
even
supposed to
it
play
doesn't
this.
even yeah, but it doesn't do it every time. It's hit and miss as to
Oh,
whether or not it bloody
no.
does it. It's
Oh, what a
yeah, but
shame.
well, considering I spent, you know, 150 Australian dollars on the Never Ending Story,
Ah.
if I didn't spend anywhere near that on The Third Man, I frankly don't deserve to watch films anymore. So
Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean, I feel like I'm the only person who actually enjoyed this from the feedback on the thread as being like 4 out of 10, the worst film I've ever seen. I had a blast. I don't think, as we'll come to in our most anticipated movies of 24 and look back, I don't think I was expecting this to be anywhere near as enjoyable as it was. And I think perhaps because I was worried they were going to try and hinge the entire MCU's future on this one movie. Instead, they just had a blast with Deadpool and Wolverine.
You don't know that yet, though, Kaz, do you? For all you know,
No,
they
okay,
might be.
sure. I mean, maybe they are, but I really enjoyed it. And unlike these Godzilla, Third Man, whatever the why did we forget the sorry Godzilla and Scarface. Why did we forget the HDR business? I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine is an MCU release with Dolby Vision on it, which
Rubbing their
is,
noses in it.
yeah,
Yeah.
which is pretty good going. Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos looks great, sounds great. Even love the Steelbook. Steelbook's great. I mean, I've had a period in my time where I fell out of love with Steelbooks. There was is almost entirely thanks to Zavi. So thank you, Zavi. And a few recent ones have really caught my attention, and it's the spot gloss that does it. It's like someone actually went, yeah, okay, we give a damn. The spot gloss on Nikita's eyes and the gun in the Nikita Steelbook works for me. And on Deadpool and Wolverine, you get spot gloss, you get it on Wolverine's blades, and you get it on Deadpool's guns, and you get it on the little bits of metal on his uniform as well. I think it worked. And the flames have got like a sparkle to them. I like it. I like that they put a bit more effort into it. They did two steelbooks because they want twice as much money for you. I'm not falling for the one where it looks like someone's holding a gun over Deadpool's shoulder. I'm not doing that one. Our number one title of the list is much deserved. It is Seven Samurai.
To be
10 out of 10.
absolutely a truly, truly magnificent film. I think I said at the end of the review, cinema probably peaked in 1954 because not only did you have
Godzilla.
Kaiju, as I just said, not only did you have Godzilla, but you had this quite possibly the greatest film ever made. And this is a set to die for, absolutely brilliant. And if this picture can look this good, for a film from 1954, it deserves all the plaudits. It should be owned by everyone. It's a truly, truly magnificent film, and I love it.
Nice. If this picture can look this good from 1954, then insert something about James Cameron in here. Because we
Yes.
also have Terminator 4K, which gets a big fat TBC by it. None of us are going near it, partly because discs not arriving and partly because we're scared. And Yeah, we'll see how that shapes up on the next
I
podcast.
survived True Lies. I can survive The
I
Terminator.
didn't survive Terminator 2.
Yeah, well then, you know.
That wraps up our look at the best 4K and Blu-ray this month. Okay, right, for our discussion of the month, we're looking at our most anticipated movies of 24, and we're going to do a retrospective because we compiled this list all the way back in December 2023, and we picked 20 of our most anticipated movies of the year, and we did educated wishes. I'm gonna pull out a Deadpool and Wolverine on this. We did ed educated wishes on how they would score, okay? And we scored them all, and we gave an overall average prediction. And I want to see just how close some of these were, and where we landed. Let's just jump straight
Let's
in.
just
Come on,
jump
let's
straight in, straight in,
just
Harlow.
do it.
Come on.
Please, number 20. Joker, Folie à Deux. Now, what's interesting about this is that at the outset, Mark, you talked about how we got nowhere near them. But actually, I
Yes.
think that at an individual level, we did get pretty close, even if some of our guesses were way off. Like, I was expecting Joker level results from this sequel, but you were right on the money with a 5 out of 10. Boom. And you go and see it, and you gave it a 5 out of 10. I mean, some would say that
That
you
you rigged the
basically
results.
pre-scored it. But anyway, it's like, I think that's pretty good as predictions go. Tom gave it a 4. I mean, I don't know what future like globe he was looking at there. Yeah, it's interesting. Me and Si were giving it 8, which edged it up to a 6.
Yeah, but the difference is you and Si liked the first film. I
Very true.
didn't.
Yeah,
So,
I suppose.
you know.
But overall, though, it was still number 20 in our list, which says something about it to a certain
Well,
extent.
I think that is exactly the reason why it has proven to be the biggest box office failure of the year so far. You know, the mere fact that they took, all right, an interesting take on a comic book supervillain origin story, and they turned it into a musical starring Lady Gaga. I mean, it's no wonder people didn't show up. Now, to be honest, it wasn't the musical bit that put me off. I love a good musical. I watched the 1982 version of Annie last week and loved it.
Oh.
But I digress. It was just, yeah, this it, in a couple of years' time, people will look back at it and praise it for being a bold move. Well, you know, yes, it is a bold move, but so was the end of Thelma and Louise, and look at that, they drove straight off a sodding cliff.
Spoilers.
Being bold does not always equal the right choice, and this, I just think it was a poorly conceived follow-up to a film which should have been a one and done. That simple.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
I still haven't got around
all
to
gone in
it.
a better direction. I still haven't seen it
No.
and probably won't.
Yeah, it's
But
that
no, you
speaks a
should
lot
see
about
it.
it.
You
I'll
should
watch it
see it.
too. It's just
Not when there's Arcane to watch. Come on.
it speaks a lot about the fact that me and Si rated it the highest, both enjoyed the first film and haven't got around to watching this. I mean, that's why you spend 200 million on it, and you a lot of the people who should be going and seeing your movie are like, yeah, not really sure. So the next one, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. We were bang on our average prediction of 6 out of 10. Again, interesting that me and Mark were doing high with this, and Tom and Si brought the score down to a 6, which is what you gave it, Mark.
Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Kaz, but you, like me, pretty much adored
The first one,
Afterlife.
yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think I was hoping for better than this. And a 6 out of 10 isn't like horrendous.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's Ghostbusters. There is enough of the Ghostbusters magic in there, but unfortunately, they can't let go of the old legacy Ghostbusters, and they need to. There is not enough room in a film for basically two full sets of Ghostbusters with two full sets of characters. You know, they should have been retired. The old school gang should have been retired at the end of Afterlife. If they'd completely taken the old gang out of Frozen Empire, it would have made it a better film. I really believe that he would have had more room to do something more interesting with a villain that got no time to do anything. And yeah, it just didn't get anywhere near Afterlife for me, I'm afraid. So, disappointment.
Unlike Kingdom of Planet of the Apes, which I pegged at a six and got a high six from us. But actually, I really enjoyed. I know it's got a lot of expectations after the last trilogy, but there's enough here to warrant more of it. Yeah, that was pretty good. That edged up to a seven, which is pretty close. I think we've been bang on the money so far. I'm just going to say that. And that all falls off a cliff with Night Swim, where we all thought it would be better than the five you gave it, Mark. And I tragically tried to start it the other day and got nowhere with it. And I'm sure the echoes of your five were like ringing in my ear, going, don't
You
damn
know what?
squib it.
What's going to be really interesting about 2024 is it's going to go down as a pretty good year for horror. You've got your Longlegs, you've got your Heretic, you've got your Smile 2, you've got your First, all that kind of stuff. But all of those dropped in the second half of the year. You look at the first half of the year, we got these insipid Blumhouse films like Imaginary and this. And it was painful. I mean, I gave it a five because, ironically, in Night Swim, the best thing about it is nothing to do with its raison d'être, its haunted swimming pool, which is as guffaw-inducing as it sounds. Cast well, right? Russell's pretty good in it, and there's some actually quite decent character work in it. But if you're going to do a film about a haunted swimming pool, man, I want, Stuart Gordon and Brian Usner levels of insanity. I want utter ridiculousness, and this tried to play it straight. No, take our haunted swimming pool seriously. Seriously. It's not offensive, it's not utterly terrible, but by God, there's better films out there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the only one I feel we've been slightly off in the mark on so
Oh,
far.
until the next one.
Well, Argyle, even Argyle, we predicted like a seven minus, and me and Tom were shooting for six as Sire seven. You were the only one who was being utterly unrealistic with a nine.
Oh, I
And
just thought it looked ace.
landed us, it never ever looked ace. One of the
Yes.
biggest flops of the year, but I know you've got a soft spot
You
for
have no joy in your life, Harlow.
it. I
It's
mean,
that simple.
I think I find it hard to forgive films that even my kids just go, "What did we just watch?" And things like that. I don't know what else I showed them recently. I tried to start Aquaman 2, and they weren't having it. They were like, "What is this? And why does it look so cheap? And why are they drinking beer on a sofa somewhere? And what, why?" And they just, after a while, we stopped and they've never asked to return.
You put
And
Night Swim on instead.
yeah, no, Argyle was one of those movies where they were just WTFing the entire time. Alien Romulus, again, pretty spot on for the mark, a seven minus, and you landed a six, which, you know. We don't
Yeah.
have the
The...
benefit of pluses and minuses on our scoring system. I'd say we were pretty close. I gave it a seven, and I've seen it, and I'd probably be hard pushed not to. Tom gave it a six, I gave it six, and you gave it a seven, Mark. I mean, it's somewhere between those two.
Yeah, no, but I tell you what, I watch this again, it ain't getting anywhere near a six. Oh, I tell you, it's my disappointment of the year. This makes me sad. It makes me
I
sad.
can see why. For me, I enjoyed it more second time around because I knew everything I was going to be disappointed by. And I knew all of the limitations and all of the bugbears. So for me, second time around, it was okay.
I mean, the thing with it is, though, all the films so far, and yes, even if you include the AVP films in the franchise, they've all been their own beasts, shall we say, to varying degrees of success. But this, to me,
It's your
this is
greatest thing ever. It's a nostalgia train through Mark Stalaville.
no, it's not. This is The Force Awakens. That's what this is. And do you know what? I
Yeah,
watched the 2009
it
Friday the 13th this morning, exactly the same. It takes all the bits from all the previous films and just smushes them together and goes, well, there you go. It worked once, so yeah, it'll work again. And it's just so disappointing. I would rather the absolute turd fest of Alien Resurrection than this, because at least Resurrection tried to do something a bit bananas. And I'd take bananas over this any day. I mean, I don't know. Maybe a second watch, I'll make peace with it.
I enjoyed it on a second watch. Watched it with a friend who hadn't seen it, and set him up saying it's going to be a series of bad decisions on how to pay tribute to all the previous films, and I mean all the previous films. And he had a blast with it.
Likewise,
there are a couple of bits where they paid homage and they overstepped. And they
you
did
turned
that
to each other and high five when it was "Get away from her, you bitch!"
Yeah,
bro, dude, yeah, get away from her, you bitch! Oh my god!
I mean, the get away from her, we were fine with.
Oh.
We're absolutely fine with. It just was the you bitch. Anyway, I'm just
spoilers
just
for everyone. Saying. Yes, it does say that line. Yes,
spoilers.
It really does.
I mean,
it's interesting. My god kids both. Twist my arm to see this. They think I quite like it, but I've got no interest.
I've got no interest in it.
Watch Seven Samurai again, so
it's fine. Mm. It's just got moments that will make long-time fans probably grit their teeth, but I think it's fine. And as I say, once I'd lived with it, I quite enjoyed it second time round. And that's saying something about this. You know, I probably would watch it again as a result of my second watch. But Mark set me up quite well with his 6 out of 10 and with his, you know, falls off a cliff kind of attitude to it. For me, there was an 8 out of 10 movie in there and 15 minutes of like a 4 out of 10 movie in there. But the stuff in the 4 out of 10 movie is really annoying. It's like really annoying. Which is amazing in a film which gets right such simple things that everything else gets wrong, such as having a bunch of young teenagers in a spaceship. I haven't ever seen that done right before until this. And stuff like that, it gets right. And then, yeah, it just oversteps too many times. But moving on, Gladiator 2, we just talked about that. Yeah, and we all slapped 7s and 6s on it. So it landed a 7-, but Mark gave it an 8. So I'll take that as a win. But I still think we're pretty close to it.
You can't take that as a win. But do you know what this does, though? All of this, it's about the expectations we bring to it. You watch all of these.
Of course, that's what we based our predictions on, what we expected to be.
Yeah, but it's the fact that those expectations then differ, I think, for me, is what's interesting. I had this pegged as I wasn't going to go and see this. I wasn't interested in Gladiator 2. Nah. And I went in and really enjoyed it. Whereas
well, you were on this list. I think we all expected it to be pretty entertaining. Maybe not an 8, but pretty entertaining. I mean, Scott is pretty reliable.
Scott can do spectacle.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Well, then again, he can also do House of Gucci. So, you know. Just saying.
We got a succession. The first of many that didn't get released. So Lord of the Rings, the War of Rohan is delayed to 2025, unless I completely missed it somewhere. I haven't heard anything about this. I heard about it, obviously, when we made this list, but I haven't heard any marketing or anything for it.
Saw a trailer on TV the other day, so I think it's coming over Christmas, I think. I don't know if it's 24 before Christmas or 25 after Christmas, but yeah, I saw the first trailer for it.
Oh, wow. Okay, they might sneak that into this and prove us all wrong. What do we expect for that? 7 out of 10? Yeah, let's see.
Maybe being generous there.
Wait a second. Mark expected a 6. Right, let's see if Mark reviews it and gives it a 6. Then. Fall Guy. Fall Guy. I had higher expectations for this, but you know what? I had a blast. And I know I gave it 7 out of 10 when I saw it at the cinema. But it doesn't quite do justice to how much fun I have had with it and how much I actually really want to watch it again. And the kids want to watch it again. I think Mark had a blast too.
Totally. Loved it.
Yeah, so I think the kind of our prediction is on the money, but this is one of those times you'd like, maybe the bandwidth of a half markup, or at least a plus. Godzilla X Kong, how do we do on that? Yeah, seven seven. Seven 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 seven. I mean, Sai, for some insane reason, thought it was going to be an eight. I mean, this franchise is never gearing up for an eight. I mean,
I
not
must have
since
had
the
good fun at one of the films. I don't know. What was the
Skull
latest one
Island is
before
an
that?
eight, Kaz.
No, Godzilla versus Kong. Look, Tom gave that an eight. You know what? I can see why. It's such nonsense, but it's so much fun.
Do you know what? It was it. I thought it had peaked with the last one, and I thought this one had nowhere to go. I wasn't convinced with the trailers, but yeah, it's got some of that big dick kaiju energy, which just it's utterly ridiculous. And yes, in the trailer, yes, Godzilla runs. OMG, he runs. Of course he does. But do
I
you know
didn't.
what?
Yeah, I was okay with
Dan
that.
Stevens is a kaiju dentist. Was this the first of Dan Stevens's many scene-stealing cameos this year?
I mean, he's had a
God.
lot of these very unusual roles
Brilliantly
recently.
balmy.
Another one that didn't make it, Kubi. Well, it kind of did make it. It's laced from Takashi Kitano. That doesn't mean anything to loads of people, but I was really looking forward to it. It's been released in Japan, and he's gone on to make another movie.
Course he
And
has.
I think, I don't know whether that's even been released. I don't know when we're going to get to see these movies, but anyway, there's that, Kubi. So it's kind of a TBC rather than a out in 2025 as where are we going to find it? Driveway Dolls, I would say, is one of the biggest I don't know, miscalculations on our part. We had this at number nine, probably because of Ethan Coen, and we all on average predicted a seven plus quite clearly. I mean, I gave it an eight and Mark did, but Tom and Sai gave it sevens. I slapped a three on it. I don't know whether you guys have even tried watching it
I haven't bothered to see it,
after
no.
I slapped a three on it. I mean, it could be an eight, guys. It could be an eight.
It's like I trust what you say, Kaz.
It's really bad. It's a really bad film. I think it's on Amazon, but it was really bad film. And yeah, I don't know what was going on there, but one Coen brother
Does
does
not
not
work.
work. And Deadpool 3, yeah, we already mentioned that. Seven plus, and it landed an eight. I think I gave it an eight too. So kind of better than expected, slightly worse than expected for your nine. I didn't know you gave it a nine, Mark.
No, I
What were you
predicted a
thinking?
nine. I gave it an eight.
Yeah, I gave it a nine on predictions. I didn't know you. Yeah, that's what I
I
mean.
love Deadpool. I love him.
I
He's
know, but I
amazing.
mean, that was unrealistic. I'm just saying.
That wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, having seen it, yeah, it was. But at the time,
I
it wasn't.
tell you what's unrealistic, us ever getting the
Oh,
chance to see
bloody havoc.
Havoc. I mean, what's the deal with that? I've put
Messing with us now,
in
swear
here
to God.
that it made our 2021 list of most anticipated movies of
21.
2022. Now we're in 2024 talking about our favorite films of 2024 and noticing that it still hasn't been released in 2024. It doesn't even have a date in 2025. I think they were reshooting this year. I mean, Gareth Evans has done stuff that's worth watching, but what is this? This is like Brave New World's level of reshoots. Nosferatu, another one delayed to 2025. I mean, are we still predicting an eight here?
Yeah, have you seen the trailer? Oh no, it's a silly question. The
No, I
trailer's
don't.
amazing. We should
Is
all up
it
it to a nine.
Oh,
Yes.
shut up. Are you
Yes.
saying that really? You're gonna up your
Yes.
thing to a... Oh no, you already gave it a nine.
No,
You
I'm already
can't
at a
up it any
nine.
higher.
I'm not going to up it to a ten. That would be foolish.
I'm still giving it a seven
No, it
because
looks
eight.
great. Yeah, I'm
But
not sure.
I have seen Lily Rose Depp in The Idol, so Civil War. I would say we were bang on the money with this until Tom came along, gave it nine, and proved us all wrong.
Yeah, but I gave the 4K review an eight, so I think you'll find I course corrected us there, Kaz.
Fair
Yeah,
enough.
I really enjoyed this. It was
It's
different from I think
somewhere
what any
around
of us
that.
were expecting, but
Yes.
yeah, it was a really It was a surprising film for Garland. I mean, I only saw Men for the first time earlier this year, so I had no idea what film this was going to be. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. So yeah, good film.
It's
I think
even more interesting
we
now
did that
after
pretty
the
well.
election.
Yeah.
Still, we did pr well for including it at number five. That's not a bad number
Yeah.
five shout out.
Yep.
I would probably say the same about Furiosa, but I appear to be one of, well, the only two people who liked it. But I really enjoyed Furiosa. I think
Gave
I.
it an eight.
Who gave it a name?
Tom did.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So
What's.
Tom liked it,
Yes.
or is an 8 out of 10 not classed as liking it in these rarefied numbers
Oh,
driven
no. I was saying
times?
it was just me and Tom that liked it. That was it. I was just saying me and Tom that liked it. It's just two of us, just two
Haven't we done
people.
a podcast on this?
We did a
We've
whole
done several
podcast on.
podcasts. Yes.
Yes.
Let's
But
not talk
anyway.
about Furiosa anymore. It was all
Okay.
right. Moving on.
Okay. Made our top four justifiably. Moving on.
Yes.
Mickey 17, another one didn't make the 2024. We were anticipating this clearly because it's at a number three, but I'm not
But
sure we still
another trailer
are.
released, isn't there?
No, we
Yeah.
are.
Are
We
we?
are.
We are. Okay.
Because
Well, you've seen the trailer, so clearly, you know.
the trailer, I mean, I don't think any of us were quite expecting it to be as overtly comedic as it so blatantly is. And
Okay.
it looks an absolute blast. So I am keeping my 9 out of 10 for this. I think it looks a hoot.
Okay. Horizon. Have you
Oh
guys
dear.
seen Horizon yet?
Nah,
Okay, so this is the
no.
number two. I was really looking forward to it. It's like a 3 hour part. No, it isn't even part one. It's like a 3 hour opening act of a movie.
Prologue.
It is, yeah, a little bit more than a prologue to a movie, to a story. Who knows when we'll get the rest of it? Last thing I heard, Cosmas
Inevitable.
visiting billionaires. So I don't know. I don't know how we're going to get the rest of it. But the fact that we were supposed to have chapters one and two already long released and chapter three probably released as well by now, and the fact we only got part one and then it goes deathly silent and we're still not having it on streaming. I mean, Anyway, this landed a seven. I was being generous because it is still capable of forming the first quarter of a very watchable whole. But my Lord, this was ambitious folly. But our number one was, at least for me, rightly picked as Dune. I slapped, you know, predictions and nines abound. I slapped a 10 on this, and I was very, very happy with having Dune at the top. And I'm not sure I'd switch that around now.
No.
You're going to give it to Deadpool, are you, Mark? Or four?
No.
Yeah, I know.
I see the thing with both these Dunes, without a doubt, it is stupendous filmmaking. Absolutely stupendous filmmaking. I'm not going to deny that. But I am a huge stan for David Lynch's version. And every fiber of me when I'm watching Villeneuve's films just screams at me, "Why didn't you want Sting with butterfly underpants in your film?" For me, it's handsome, it's stunningly made, but it's a bit bland, if I'm on it. Do you know what it is? It's a bit beige.
I would say
I'm not just I,
sterile.
do you
I loved
know
it.
what? I would give it
Loved
a
it.
solid 8. I very much enjoyed it, but it is no David Lynch's Dune.
All right. Other
Simple
than
as.
that, I think I'm quite happy with it being the top of this list. I think we did pretty well. I
Actually,
think the
yeah.
only one that was really bad was Driveway Dolls. And I think it's quite forgivable that we had higher expectations for that particular one. It's a nicer place to come from. I think overall, we were within a point of most everything on that list.
Yeah, but do you know what though? There's not a lot of standouts in there, though, is there?
What's been surprising, I think, is the ones that didn't make the list that turned out to be like real gems, because there were loads we skipped off. We didn't talk about Killers of the Flower Moon. We didn't talk about I mean, we didn't even talk about Transformers, but we didn't talk about Poor Things. We shouldn't sh didn't include Zone of Interest. We didn't talk about, I mean, thankfully, Megalopolis. There were a bunch of other things in there that, could have got a mention. We none of us got around to Jura number two, and there've been a succession of interesting horrors that have defined a different avenue to 2024, like a real standout, even if they're not like film of the year material, they're arguably performance of the year material, some of these. And no one maybe would have expected a series of Final Girl performances from these particular actresses as defining their careers and making people want to maybe reassess how they provision Oscars. I think it's been an interesting year for wins, but I'll take the ones we got here, and I think next time I am going to be, I'm going to be really interested in how we look at 2025's list, including some of the ones that were on 2024's.
Yeah, I was going to say just all the ones
Or
all of them
2021.
haven't started yet, honestly.
Right. Okay, that wraps up our look back at our anticipated movie predictions and how close they were. Do let us know if there's ever anything we've not covered that you think we should check out. That's it for the AV Forums podcast this week. My thanks to the movies team. If you enjoyed the podcast, give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Plus, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really liked it, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark avforums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, why not leave us a 5-star rating on whichever service you choose, if they allow it, but only if you enjoy the show. Thank you for watching and listening. Join us again soon.